host and speaker. I'm Dr. Paul Esposito, and I thank you for joining us here today, friends. God bless you. Thank you for taking 30 minutes of your day to join me as we together study the Word of Almighty God. We are moving on here with our study in the Book of Revelation here on WGOD. And the sermon we're going to hear today and tomorrow is called Introducing the Man of Sin. And that's where we're going to be looking at here. Coming up in a moment, again, this will play today. This will wrap up tomorrow. I'd love to invite you. As a matter of fact, I do invite you out to Island Community Church this weekend. We are at 1000 North Banana River Drive, Merritt Island, Sunday morning at 10:30. God's doing an awesome work there, and I invite you to come and take part of it. He's moving and shaking there. I've seen wonderful things. People are being blessed. I've seen some people healed of some serious things, and God is really blessing our congregation. It's growing in size, and I believe that he's very pleased with what's going on there at the church. And because when he's pleased with what's going on at the church, we know and believe that he adds to the church daily. And we've seen that in the last year. And I invite you to come by Sunday morning. We have Holy Communion. We do it the right way at our church. We don't give out Hawaiian punch and Twinkies. It's a serious matter. We take it that way. Paul said to those who are taking it the wrong way, for this reason, many are sick. That's S-I-C-K, kind of sick. That didn't come from Satan. For this reason, many are sick and many sleep. That's a euphemism for death. Not discerning the Lord's body. It's a serious thing. But then again, now likewise, friend, certainly the Bible doesn't say it, but we can imply that the opposite is true if we take communion the right way. And that is, take a couple minutes before communion and confess our sins to the Lord in quiet. Certainly, there's healing in communion, you would think. I believe that. God's a healer. He still heals today. If you take communion the right way, certainly the opposite of all those things for taking it the wrong way, I would assume would be true. Healing. Forgiveness. Forgiveness of sins, obliteration of sins, amnesia of sins, having your body healed and restored, that's what God does. He still heals today. We just can't tell him what we want. He is sovereign. He's the one who does these things. So anyway, I invite you to church here this weekend. We will be taking communion. My sermon is What Will Be the Sign of Your Coming, Halloween 2021. Every month I can preach this, and every month it'll change. I'm in a different text this weekend, but that's what we're looking at, because there's no more relevant thing today facing us that when will be the sign of Jesus' return, because his return is near. Smell the coffee and look around you. That's where we're at. Love to see you. If you can't make it, you can watch the feed if it works at 10:35 on Sunday morning, either on the Island Community Church Facebook page or download the app on your tablet or on your phone, Island Community Church, FL. So here's part one now. Again, that's Sunday morning. We'll be back again tomorrow with part two of this. But let's start this message here, the man of sin.
Starting chapter 13 today, the book of Revelation. But we're going to take a detour there. Sorry. Ha! No, I'm not sorry, actually. We left off last week looking at the rapture, which is a perfect setup to today's sermon. Because even 2,000 years ago, people were arguing about the rapture. They haven't stopped yet for 2,000 years. And it just goes to show you, just some things just never change, do they? So if you remember last week, our key text was from Paul's letter to the Thessalonians, chapter 4, and it went something like this, starting in verse 15. The Apostle Paul said, "For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. Now, sleep is a euphemism for death. The people there in Thessalonica were worried what was going to happen to all those that had died. And Paul was encouraging them that death is not the end for Christians. It's only the beginning. It's not the end. And he was encouraging them with this. Don't be discouraged about those that have died. Verse 16, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, meanwhile, back at the ranch, back in the city of Thessalonica, someone tried to deceive these people and mislead them by a false communication, pretending to be coming from the Apostle Paul concerning what he just told them about this rapture. So keep in mind, an important topic, one in which Satan felt he needed to corrupt. Okay? The topic is so important, the devil thinks he needs to corrupt this. And knowing how you know the devil, how would you corrupt it, or how would you expect him to? What would you expect the devil to do to corrupt the text of the Lord's second coming? We're not fools. His corruption would be for you not to worry about anything and take it easy. You'll never break a nail, right? Skin for skin, all that a man has, he will give for his life. Satan's corruption is this is not going to be for you to persevere to the end, hang in there, hate your life, like Jesus said. The Lord Jesus said, those who love their life will lose it. Those who hate their life will keep it. Satan is going to tell you the opposite, right? This just goes to show you, though, that this text is so important. It's not something, we don't need to worry about this. I'm a pan-theologian. You know what a pan-theologian is? Right, it'll all pan out in the end. Well, Satan is not a pan-theologian. He got involved in it to corrupt it. So we'll take it from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. And now you've got the backdrop for this letter and what Paul's talking about. Someone lied about the rapture, forcing Paul to write this letter. This is why he wrote it. He wrote it because someone was lying about the rapture, and they lied in his name. That's why he wrote this. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1, the heading in the New King James says, the great apostasy. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you. All right, interesting. The same Greek word, and I believe the only other time it's used in the whole Bible, is found in Jesus' account of the rapture, Matthew 24:31. Listen as I read it to you. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory, and he will send his angels with the great sound of the trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. The word is episynagogue. Synagogue is, it's a gathering, like the one down the street. Epi is a preposition of place, like epicenter. Keep that in mind as we go back now to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. So Jesus calls this event the gathering together, episynago. Everyone with me? Episynago, gathering together. He told you it's at the end of the tribulation, by the way. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus and our episynago. Same thing, right? It's only used twice in the New Testament, both times about the return of the Lord. First Jesus, now Paul. Now, concerning the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and our episynago, or our gathering together, we ask you, all right, there's the subject matter. This is what he's talking about. Verse 2, not to be shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. You see, again, someone tried to deceive them with a counterfeit letter, or a counterfeit, thus saith the Lord, supposedly coming from Paul, informing them that they missed the rapture. Now, of course, the day of Christ is that day. It's the good day. Here's some scriptures to back that. They're all on the handout. Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. The day of Jesus Christ is a good day, not the day of the Lord. Philippians 2:16, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. 2 Corinthians 1:14, we are your boast, as you are ours, in the day of the Lord Jesus. Even this 1 Corinthians 5:5, this threat of a verse, Paul says, deliver such a person over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that a spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. No one understand, the day of Christ is a good day. It's not the same day as the day of the Lord. Listen to this verse, Amos 5:18. Woe to you that desire the day of the Lord. For what good is the day of the Lord to you? It'll be darkness and not light. It'll be as though a man fled from a lion and a bear met him. Or as though he went into his house, leaned his hand on the wall, and a serpent bit him. Is not the day of the Lord darkness and not light? Is it not very dark with no brightness in it? Do you see the difference between the two? And we looked at one this morning, too, that the day of the Lord comes as a thief in the night. The earth and the elements will melt with fervent heat. The day of the Lord is a bad day. The day of Christ, Paul said he's going to rejoice in that day. The day of Christ is the day the Lord's coming back to take his own out of this world. You with me? Now, back from the top. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you, in other words, now about that rapture that we're talking about earlier, don't be shaken in mind or don't be troubled either by a spirit or by word or by a letter as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. So don't be troubled by anyone. He's saying, you didn't miss this. He goes on, let no one deceive you by any means. For that day, what day? No, the day of Christ, not the day of the Lord. If your Bible says day of the Lord, throw your Bible out and get a new Bible. Ask me for another Bible. It's the day of Christ. Some Bibles say day of the Lord in them, and they're in error. 91% of every Greek manuscript has day of Christ in it. The King James has day of Christ in it. New King James has day of Christ in it. If your Bible says day of the Lord, it's faulty. It's day of Christ. Let no one deceive you by any means. For that day, the day of Christ, that day will not come unless. All right, here comes his list. short and sweet. Two things. That day will not come unless, number one, the falling away comes first. Number two, the man of sin is revealed. Key text. Let's look at both of these. Falling away. What is the falling away? Remember, he's talking about the rapture. People get on TV and tell you all the time the rapture could be today, right? You hear it all the time. What does the Bible say? You see, the people back then were deceived by the same thing you're deceived with today. You're asking the same questions. Paul's laying it out for you and giving you the answer. That day will not come. Listen to me. That day will not come unless two things happen first. Number one, the falling away comes first. The Greek word, apostasia, only used twice in the Bible. Let's let Scripture interpret Scripture, okay? 1 Timothy 4:1. It says, also, funny, it's got the same subject heading as 2 Thessalonians, the great apostasy. 1 Timothy 4:1, it says, the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall fall away from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of devils. So the falling away is a prophetic look at what's going to happen to the church of Jesus Christ. It's got to happen first before there's any rapture. A falling away. Question, has it already happened? I'd say perhaps. But I still believe there's going to be a mother of all falling aways where Christians are all going to be put to the test to see what they're made of. So you're waiting and worried about the rapture, Paul asks. That day is not going to come unless the falling away comes first. And, number two, the man of sin is revealed. Hence the title of my sermon today, Introducing the Man of Sin. Paul said this had to happen first. So let me ask the question. Have you too been misled by false teaching? Have you too been misled by false teaching? I've translated this, the man of sin is unveiled. He might be on the scene for years before he's unveiled. And he's unveiled after something happens. Revelation 13:3 says, I saw one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world marveled and followed the beast. That would unveil him to me, right? Here's another possibility. Revelation 11:7, when the two witnesses finish their testimony, the beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit will make war with them, overcome them, and kill them. This too will unveil the man. When the Antichrist kills the two witnesses, he'll be unveiled. You'll know who he is. It's only one problem. That happens at the end of the tribulation. Yikes. I would love to see this rapture of the church before anyone breaks a nail, just like everyone else. We saw last week that this whole idea of the Lord coming before the tribulation started from a 15-year-old girl in a trance in Scotland in 1830. That's where all of this started. No one in the church believed this for 1,800 years, and now in the last 100 years. Okay. Now, here in 2 Thessalonians, Paul will give us his own clues as to this man's identity and continue with the theme of what's holding up the rapture from occurring. Again, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first. And the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition. Notice, by the way, he's just told you who he is. He's just named him. The son of perdition. Isn't that funny? That's the same name that Jesus named the only person that he lost. Right? John 17. Lord, I've lost none except one. The son of perdition. So that the word of God may be fulfilled. According to Jesus, a Judas Iscariot was the son of perdition. Paul says the Antichrist is the son of perdition. He's given him a name. Who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember, Paul's giving you a list of what has to happen first before the rapture. And I'm sorry if all this seems foreign to you. The Antichrist will sit as God in the temple of God. Now that brings us to another thing believers are waiting for. They're waiting for a new temple in Jerusalem. Right? Matthew 24:15, Jesus said, therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. So that's number three. And now throw this verse into the mix, and you're going to have quite a time here on planet Earth. And that's Revelation 13:8, which we'll focus on next week. It says this. It says, all who dwell on the earth will worship him. Thank God for this comma. Whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. But this verse, Revelation 13:8, is your greatest evangelistic motivational tool that you have. All that dwell on the earth will worship him. Certainly you know someone, a son, your daughter, your parent, your mother, your father, your friend. Everyone's interested in this topic. Why do you think Hollywood keeps making movies about it? The Clash of the Titans, Jesus versus the Antichrist, end times and the end of the world. But the Bible says, all that dwell on the earth will worship him. Who do you know? Everyone whose name is not written in the book of life is going to worship. Even the atheists and the agnostics, those that don't give a rip about religion. Everyone's going to worship him. Whose names are not written in the... If you have not received Jesus Christ yet as your Lord and Savior, you will call this man Lord. Or you'll die first, and you won't have to, and still end up in the same place. All who dwell on the earth will worship him. What a scary thought that is, isn't it? Verse 5. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, that I told you these things? And now you know what's restraining, so that he may be revealed in his own time. So Paul informs us here that something... Here, it's in the neuter, actually. Something is holding back the unveiling of the man of sin. Verse 7. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he, now it's in the masculine, only he who now restrains will continue until he is taken out of the way. So you see, this Antichrist is a spirit. And throughout the years, it's manifested itself through various people like Nero and Hitler and others who hate Christians and Jews. Paul said the Spirit's already at work. It's already at work here in the world. To help us understand this text here more, let's turn to the man who invented the word Antichrist. And that would be in 1 John chapter 4, if you'd like to turn there with me. 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, starting in verse 2. John says, "For by this you know the Spirit of God." Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ... Now, every time we see Jesus Christ here, let's substitute the Messiah. A Christ was not Jesus' last name.
We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio. And on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time.
Have I told you about Boaters Exchange? Boaters Exchange is a family-owned boat store in Rockledge on US 1, right next to Rockledge Gardens. From Melbourne to Titusville, from Merritt Island to the beaches, Boaters Exchange serves the local community with boating supplies, boats, and world-class service as well. Boaters Exchange is a proud corporate sponsor and underwriter of the radio ministries of WMIE. They are available at 638-0090. Boaters Exchange was recently named one of the top 100 boat dealers in North America, and they are the only five-star dealer in Brevard. Once again, Boaters Exchange at 638-0090, 321-638-0090.
Sin comes knocking, knocking up on your door. It sounds like thunder when it's clapping, then it rains like never before. You see the lightning in the distance, but you can already feel the wind. God will surely lead you through it until the sky.